Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast here on a Tuesday. Dan Lobby with Mary Kay Cabot and Ashley Bastock. And we're going to talk, what else? Schedule. More importantly, where the Browns may or may not be going this season. And we're going to start with this. Mary Kay just put a post up. We're recording this about 1:45 here on Tuesday. Mary Kay just put a post up at cleveland.com/Browns about Packers president Mark Murphy all but announcing that it was going to be the Packers who are going to go to Brazil to play the Eagles on that Friday night in week one. Now, that is not official. We were kind of joking that we've learned in this business, nothing's official until it's official. So you never say never, but Mary Kay, it feels like, and I know that this was kind of the sense at the owners' meetings as well when you were there, it's starting to feel like it's not going to be the Browns going to Brazil to play the Eagles week one.
Well, certainly after what Mark Murphy said today at the Packers tailgate tour, the kickoff of that, certainly makes it sound like the Packers are going over the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if he would have been that positive, that almost definitive about it if it wasn't going to be the Packers. But again, never say never. We really don't know the answer yet. But the important thing here is that the Packers are huge in Brazil. They're absolutely huge in Brazil. And even though they didn't really want to go and make this trip from everything that I've heard, I think the NFL has been helping them see the wisdom in them being the opponent of the Eagles for this big game. And there was sort of a tone change, vibe change for Mark Murphy today in talking about, you know, we really want to do this. So I think they have talked the Packers into it and have talked it up to them. And they are now getting excited about going to Brazil. And we probably will hear something soon.
Yeah, first of all, who knew that the Packers had such a big following in Brazil? But I guess that's where it is. But Ashley, it very quickly got pared down to it's going to be the Browns or the Packers. Most people sort of figured that out over the course of that announcement coming down. Mo Hurst caused a little bit of a stir when he went on the in-house radio show in Berea and said that the Browns would be playing in Brazil. It turns out he did not have any inside information, as I think most of us suspected. But I know for us personally, I don't think we wanted this to happen. And we can get into that a little bit more as we go here. But I guess now that we're to a point where it really sounds like it's going to be the Packers, what are you thinking here?
I think it makes sense. And we were talking off mic before we started recording. I had really turned my thinking on this in terms of believing it was going to be Green Bay when Roger Goodell spoke at the NFL annual meetings a couple weeks ago. He made the comment. He went out of his way to make the comment. If you're a regular listener of this podcast, you heard us bring this up in real time when it happened, about there being a lot of Green Bay fans in Brazil. And of course, you know, the Browns are a great brand in the NFL. I think we all know that. You can find Brown backers bars everywhere you go. People love the Browns. But the Packers are also a really strong brand. And I think when you talk about expanding the game internationally, which we know the NFL has been all about, the last decade or so, you've really seen them ramp up efforts to do that. I think those built-in fans or built-in interests are really key when you're taking the game somewhere new in a new international market. So I'm not surprised there. And yeah, I'm 100% all for it not being the Browns. I was curious to kind of see the sentiment among Browns fans. And I think a lot of what I've seen on Twitter, I don't know about you guys, has been Browns fans not wanting this game to be in Brazil. And I think there's a legitimate football angle to not want this game for Cleveland. And we can get into that, Dan. But my main reasoning has just been that they had so many injuries last year. Last year was such a long season. I don't think you want to add that really intensive, lengthy travel when you have so many key players coming off of season-ending injuries. And on top of that, there's all the logistics questions. This is not like going to London or Germany at this point where the NFL has been there, done that before. This is a new location. There's a lot logistically, I'm assuming, that's going to go wrong because that's just what happens when you take a trip of this magnitude. So 100%, I think the Packers should have at it with this trip. I think it's better for the Browns to not have it, quite honestly.
I struggled to get a sense of what Browns fans thought. I do think it has turned into they don't want this game to be in Brazil. I think initially, though, there was this idea of like, whoa, cool, the Browns like could be this team that gets chosen for this first experience. But Browns fans shouldn't want this game to be in Brazil because that takes away, you know, there's a lot of Browns fans that'll pick like one road game to go to. And listen, Philly is a great city. I mean, there's some other really good opportunities on this schedule if you're going to pick one game to go to, and some that you would probably choose over Philly. But Philly's a great city. It's drivable. Like, this is a prime game for a lot of fans if they want to go to a road game. You don't get to go to Philly. You know, they play them once every 8 years in Philly. So it's an opportunity to go to a game at a cool stadium there, too. So Browns fans shouldn't have wanted this game in Brazil, I don't think. But weirdly, Mary Kay, the Browns themselves seemed to be the one team that did want this game.
The Browns really did want this game. They are embracing the global nature of the NFL and just all the inroads into these international markets. And they really did want to go. They wanted to be part of history. I think that they wanted to enjoy all of the things that would come along with going to Brazil and being part of the first ever game in South America, 38 million sports fans in Brazil, and they did want to be a part of it. All eyes will be on those two teams on Friday night. It's also a historic night to play a football game on again on a Friday night for the first time since 1970, I think it is. And so they wanted some of that. But maybe they can get it by going to London. I don't know. There still is a chance that they could go to London and face the Jaguars there. But they absolutely did want this game. And I think that's why it's taken so long for the announcement to come down. You've got one team that really wants to go. You've got another team that the league wants to go but doesn't really want to go. And so it's just taking a while to sort through it all. But I do think that it would have been a hardship for the Browns to have to go. I really do. They love to travel. They travel well. They pride themselves on traveling well. But I think spending 10 days at the Greenbrier to start camp and then moving right into, and that would have been an earlier start to camp as well, and then moving right into a big, long trip to Brazil and all of that that entails, including, from what I'm hearing, you know, it's not like you could just go out and about and do whatever you want. There would be a lot of lockdown. There would be a lot of security. You'd have to be in your hotel a lot. You would not have all kinds of privileges to go make a little trek over to Rio de Janeiro and see the Christ the Redeemer statue or anything like that. So I just don't know that it would have been as fun as it might sound when you first think of going to Sao Paulo. I think it's much better for Browns fans and the Browns to go to Philadelphia for this game.
Yeah, Kevin does love to have these guys on the road. I don't know why exactly it is. Probably some of the team bonding stuff. Maybe it's some babysitting. I don't know. Maybe it's getting guys away from us. I think there's probably a lot of factors as to why Kevin likes to have these guys on the road. But, you know, Ashley, I think you made a good point, and Mary Kay kind of added to it there, like this idea that teams kind of know what entails going to London. And there's so much information out there about, well, do you travel right after the game? Or do you wait till Thursday and go out late? You know, do you treat it more like a normal week? I think the last time the Browns went, they flew out Thursday. Other teams, like I said, they go out right after their game prior. Teams just kind of know, right? And the NFL sort of knows, hey, we're going to have these events, and here's where you're going to practice, and here's how far we have to shuttle you. There's just so much more because they've been through it and they've done the reps. Brazil, even though obviously they're going to do their prep work and they're going to be on it, you still don't know until you actually do it. So it just would have been a more stressful week, especially with it being the first week.
Yeah, these two teams, the Eagles and, you know, whoever accompanies them, let's just say the Packers for sake of conversation right now, they're going to be the guinea pigs for going to Brazil in the future. And okay, yeah, some teams, if you want to do trips like that, there has to be two teams that are the first to do it. But ultimately, I think when you're talking about wins and losses and having the schedule the Browns have this year, and that's what this is about. It's about wins and losses. And growing the game is great, but I don't think it's very beneficial for the Browns to be the guinea pigs in week one in this strange environment. Like Mary Kay said, there's going to probably be elements of this trip, I think most of the elements of this trip are going to be extremely controlled. You're not going to have that freedom to just walk around, which, okay, maybe that might tamper some unexpected things you're dealing with. But I just don't think from a pure football standpoint, it's beneficial to go and play this game for them. I think you would much rather have it be a normal week, go play this team in Philly, not have to worry about all the unknowns with this being the first time the NFL is making this particular trip. I just don't think it's beneficial from a football standpoint. And ultimately, that's what matters here.
Now, Mary Kay, you did mention the possibility of London. And that's something that not a lot of people have brought up. Oddly enough, when I was covering the women's Final Four, our buddy Chris Easterling from the Beacon Journal was covering it too. And we both sort of brought this topic up, like maybe they're going to end up going to London instead. So what's the possibility? Because they do have the Jaguars on the road, and that could be a London game. Is it almost more likely that maybe they could end up getting that game at this point? And how likely do you think it is?
It could happen. I don't know if it's likely or not. There are five games. So you have to have 10 teams that are playing these international games. And it's not always easy to find the right opponents. And the Browns really don't have anything holding them back. They can go. They would be, I think, a good opponent for the Jaguars in London. My only hesitation is there's going to be a game in Spain next year, and I would really like to go to Spain. I think that would be amazing. But no, I do love London, and they really have their act together in London in terms of the NFL and these games. They've done it so much. They know what they're doing. They know the logistics of it. London is absolutely fabulous. If we go to London, I don't know, somehow you guys have to go. I mean, both of you guys have got to go. That's all there is to it. So that is my message to Cleveland.com right now on this pod.
This sounds like a social clip.
it would be amazing. It's such a wonderful, wonderful city, and it's a great place to play. It's a great place to work in terms of the game and the stadium and everything. So I hope that happens. That would be fun. But if it doesn't happen, then we have to go to Spain next year. That's just all there is to it.
Well, you know what I would like about London is, you guys know this about me on the road, I like figuring out a good train schedule.
Oh, yeah.
So just, I feel like me versus the London Underground would be like,
oh, yeah,
that would be worth it just for that alone.
Well, let me tell you a quick little story about that. So I don't know if I'm going to remember all the names of where I was going. But Pat McManaman, who used to cover the Browns for ESPN, when we went over to London the last time in 2017, we were staying near the London Marble Arch. And he said, oh, just take the tube and meet me over at Covent Gardens. That's what it was. He said, just take the tube and meet me over at Covent Gardens. And, you know, me not wanting to sound or act like I wouldn't have any idea how to do that, I was like, sure, I'll just take the tube and meet you over at Covent Gardens. So I did whatever I was supposed to do to try to figure this out. And little did I know that, I mean, it is crowded. Okay. I mean, like, you are packed in like sardines on the tube, and everybody's moving very, it's like New York. I mean, everybody's moving very, very quickly. Everybody knows where they're going. You will get trampled if you have no idea what you're doing. I had no idea what I was doing, but I did it. I showed up. I exited a train. I ended up at Covent Gardens, and I walked over to the restaurant, and I plopped myself down next to Pat. And we had a lovely time walking around Piccadilly Circus and Trafalgar Square and all the wonderful places. We even ducked in on the Browns backers party. And we saw Jimmy and Dee serving drinks there to the Browns backers. It was something else. It really was. But Dan, you would love it. You would be like, you would be tube guy. You'd be all over it.
Yeah. I'm one of these days on this pod, I'm going to do like train city rankings. Like,
oh, it would be, you would be
which cities
all
have
about
the best train transit public transit available.
Oh, you'd be all about the tube, Dan. All about the tube. I mean, you have to go just for that.
Maybe the craziest experience I had was in New York, actually, because, you know, they play in New Jersey across the river, and there's a train you can just take in to the city, into Manhattan, into Penn Station. And I was there I was in New York City like way later than I wanted to be one night. And so I needed to get this train back to New Jersey so I could get to my hotel. And Penn Station is crazy because everybody just stands there and waits, and they announce the track, and everybody runs to get on the train, which I had no idea about. So this was like, and then I get on and I'm on the wrong one. So whatever. It got me close enough.
Yeah. I mean, my kids are actually really, really good at trains and public transportation because they've traveled in Europe a lot. Or now I have a daughter that lives in New York City. She lived in London. She spent 8 weeks in London. My son spent a whole bunch of time in Europe and did an internship in Barcelona and was all over the trains there. So they just go bopping around on trains all the time. And I'm trying to get better at it. I'm going to New York City this week, and I will be all over the subway because that's how Cameron gets around. So I'll be thinking of you, Dan.
Perfect. Who knew this was going to turn into a train podcast?
I mean,
Bobby Beccaliari would be proud.
That's a deep cut reference, unless you watch The Sopranos. I don't have any fun train stories, but I mean, my contribution to the train talk segment of this podcast is I did live in DC for 2 years, so I took the metro all the time, and I lived along the Red Line in, ironically, Cleveland Park was my neighborhood. So I would get on the Cleveland Park metro stop, and the DC metro is one of truly the easiest to figure out, unless there is construction, but it's color coded. There's only a few stations where multiple lines converge. So it's not like New York where you sometimes have to beep bop around from track to track. It's a little bit easier to figure out, but yeah, that's my contribution to train talk. And bus schedules, always harder than train schedules.
I drove a bus, and I can't do buses because I can't figure them out. I can't figure out their schedules. I can't figure out how to like pay. I can't do any of that. So like, I don't blame you for that. But yeah, DC was going to be on my list. That would be probably near the top of my list of ones that I've been in.
While we are morphing here into a travel segment, I have to say, I have gone to Pittsburgh so many times for Browns games over the last, obviously, 30 some years. And I have never really spent much time in the city of Pittsburgh. But this past weekend, my middle child, my daughter Celeste, was performing. You guys all know she's an acrobat. And she performs in Cirque du Soleil type shows. And so she was in a show called Blizzard. That's what she's touring with right now in Pittsburgh. And we stayed in downtown Pittsburgh in the cultural district and walked all over the place, took pictures on the Roberto Clemente Bridge, looked over there, and there's all kinds of fans in the stands right off the bridge for the Pirates-Orioles game that was going on. And then right outside of her window was a phenomenal view of the river and all three bridges, or four bridges, and Acrisure, and the cultural district is amazing. Tons of great restaurants. We had so much fun. And we have to do more in Pittsburgh. We've got to spend, we just drive in, right? The day of the game, and then leave the day of the game, or just get up and go.
Yeah, it's one of the things, like, yeah, a lot of times if it's a 1 o'clock kickoff, I drive in and then I drive home. Because it's not that long of a drive. And so, yeah, Pittsburgh is a great city. Because, like, you know, when Kent State is basically, everyone who goes to Kent State is either from Northeast Ohio or Pittsburgh. So, like, I knew a lot of people who lived in Pittsburgh or were from Pennsylvania and that area. So, yeah, Pittsburgh's awesome. It's a good city. I know there's a lot of people that are going to hear us say this on this podcast and be like, no, you're not allowed to say that. But it is. And the one night we did spend there, a couple years ago, we found this great little restaurant that was like kind of underground, and it was kind of a cool place.
Yes. Next time Browns fans go over for a game, try to spend some time walking around the city, checking out the bridges. I taught my daughter the word confluence of the three rivers. And it's really so pretty if you get out and about and really check it all out. So definitely do that.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about someplace that is not Pittsburgh, and talk a little bit more about the Browns' travel plans. Back on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast, Dan Lobby, Mary Kay Cabot, Ashley Bastock. So, you know, we talked about Kevin loving to have his team travel. Obviously, they're not going to have the Hall of Fame game, which, again, is another one of those just weird things that they wanted. I was a little nervous. I don't know if I've said this on the pod yet or not. I was a little nervous that the Browns were trying to, like, move in and make this, like, a Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving thing. And, like, oh, Cleveland's going to play in the Hall of Fame game every year. I had a little concern about that. Luckily, they did not get the Hall of Fame game. However, they do still plan to go to the Greenbrier and Lewisburg, Virginia, which, by the way, delightful little town, since we're talking about travel. So I guess, Mary Kay, how is it going to be different this year because it is later? You know, they had such a long camp last year, so it never felt rushed going from the Greenbrier into the Hall of Fame game, going through the preseason. And I do feel like this year it's going to be different because they are going to start probably around July 23rd, July 24th. I haven't done the math, and we don't know when their first game is going to be at either. So is it going to feel a little more rushed or a little more compact this year because of the fact they're starting with those 10 days in the Greenbrier and having a more normal camp and preseason?
I don't think so. I think the fact that they don't have the Hall of Fame game and are going to the Greenbrier will make it a little bit less rushed. I'm glad they don't have that. They're not. They wanted to run it back to last year and do exactly how they did it last year and start nice and early and get a jump on camp with everybody. But that made for a long season. I remember, and I'm sure it had to be this way for the players too. By the time we got to the playoffs, we were exhausted, weren't we? I mean, if we were exhausted, can you imagine the players? So starting that whole week early, that was a lot. So now their first game isn't going to be until probably September 8th, if obviously they don't get the Eagles game in Brazil. Watch, somebody's going to do a 180 on us and like it. At 2 o'clock this, at, no, it's 2 o'clock.
Yep,
now.
And it'll definitely happen before I get this podcast posted.
Right. At 5 o'clock, they're going to be like, no, Browns are playing in Brazil. But if that does not happen, then they're starting on September 8th. And so I think it'll be okay. I think it'll be okay. I don't know why they love going to the Greenbrier so much. I think they just think it's a great experience for all the team bonding. But you know what? There's a lot of opportunities for team bonding here in Cleveland. I can show them around a little bit. Well, we can show them some great things to do here in Cleveland. We don't have to go all the way to Greenbrier for bonding now, do we, everybody?
Yeah, but, you know, Kevin talks very, like, wistfully about when he was in Minnesota in the early days and they went to training camp offsite. And I think he really just likes that. I think he just likes having it set up to where guys can't just go home at the end of the night. And you don't really do the team hotel thing anymore. I think they still have to offer that option, but nobody really does it. You know, so it's not even like they can have them in Berea and send everybody to the airport Marriott or whatever. Everybody just goes home to their families and all the distractions. And I think Kevin I think he misses the days when you used to go someplace else and have your entire camp. Buffalo still does it. Very few teams do. New Orleans is going to California this year because their facility is getting worked on. But more and more teams stay home because it's easier. All their stuff is there. They don't have to move their entire operations. But I think Kevin misses those days, Ashley. I mean, I know you've heard him talk about it. We've all sort of heard him kind of reminisce about those old Minnesota days. Minnesota might actually still go away. I'm not sure of all the teams that go away now, but there aren't many left.
Yeah, I just 100% am so against this. I know I've heard Kevin talk about it, but I don't. Maybe it's because, and maybe the crux of the issue here is, and of course, the Cleveland Browns do not care about what I want or what we want. I did not enjoy being in the middle of nowhere in West Virginia that much, and I did not have to go the whole time like Mary Kay was there, and I did not have to pack everything for 10 days. But I guess I get the bonding element of it, and guys did talk about it again. So maybe it is worth trying a second year, but you know, I just have so many concerns about this idea of running it back and, oh, they're running it back, so expect the same results. And Kevin kind of pushed against that at the combine of, oh, it's not about like recreating what we did this past season. That's not how things work. But I also think that has to be part of their thinking to do this again. And I think that element of moving and getting guys out of their comfort zone, we saw it work, I guess, to some extent. But for example, the Denver LA trip last year, by the end of that game in LA, first of all, they lost both of those games. They were all ready to get back home. I remember Grant Delpit telling us, Stan, like, I just want my own bed at this point. I think there is something to getting players comfortable, getting them in a routine that they can continue replicating and starting that routine early. I also think there's something to that. And I think in training camp, there's built-in bonding already. I don't know that you need to travel, but yeah, I mean, I understand why Kevin and seemingly has romanticized this idea of getting away to start training camp, but I think you can do similar things without it. I really genuinely do not believe it is a necessity anymore.
Well, Ashley, hopefully you will not have to drive down there by yourself this year.
That was the worst part.
You know, that's half the fun is, you know, we do a lot of times we get together with some of our colleagues and we drive together. And that's half the fun. We laugh most of the way there and we laugh most of the way home. So if you don't have to drive by yourself, that'll ease some of the pain. And yeah, we'll make the best of it again like we did. And we're not complaining. We're not complaining because, as we mentioned, the Greenbrier is beautiful. Not that we spent much time actually at the Greenbrier itself. We were at the Greenbrier Sports Complex. That's another, we'll deep dive that in, down the road again. But the town of Lewisburg and all the cute little restaurants in Lewisburg and some of the little bars, it's a cute town. It's a very cute town and we will make the best of it. And now we know what to expect. And I think that's good. I know now that I don't need resort wear. I don't need resort wear. I don't need a bonnet. I don't need a bonnet. I don't need lovely swishy pants. I don't need any of those
things. You don't need your finest linens.
I don't need my finest linens.
You don't need any of that.
I don't need anything Lily Pulitzer. I just don't.
No.
I will say I did miss the way it was set up with how Ashley and I split the trip. I didn't drive out till Saturday, which was the first practice, and then I left after the Tuesday practice. So I, like I said, I would have liked a day to just explore Lewisburg and like check out some of their little downtown. And there's obviously one restaurant we won't be going back to because of something that happened after I left. But there's other places down there that are really nice and I'd like to check out, but I didn't get that opportunity. 10 days somewhere is a long time though. And I think you're right, Mary Kay, like if it wears us out, and obviously our circumstances were different, but if we're tired, certainly these guys have to be tired too. And you think about a guy like Joel or Wyatt or, Jameis is, you know, you start thinking about the guys with kids and families. We like when you leave for a week or 10 days or whatever, that's hard on everybody. And that's kind of mentally exhausting too, when you're kind of leaving everybody at home to deal with everything. And so I do think there is some risk involved in this idea of trying to recreate whatever secret sauce they found last year. It can exhaust guys and it can wear them out just mentally and physically.
I think that's part of the method to Kevin's madness. He knows what it's like to go home to three children and all the demands of three kids and everything that you have to do in terms of getting them around and going to all of their things. And those are big responsibilities. And there are a lot of guys on the team that do have kids. So I think they want these guys to just kind of take this time to close ranks and bond and be together and build those friendships and have those opportunities and have those chances and laugh about the ghosts at the Greenbrier and all the things that go on there.
Yeah, but everybody's got the phones now and the FaceTime and they've got to put out the fires now from hours and hours away. Although I will admit that You know, I have said multiple times when we were in LA, I completely forgot that I actually had a home in Ohio and responsibilities to go back to.
Yeah, so. We enjoyed when we all lived in LA for that period of time that we looked so fondly on when we all inhabited a lovely, we have stories. We could just do a whole pod on that place and some of the funny things that happened. But yes, we remember fondly living in Los Angeles.
Okay. So
pretend we did.
So real quick, since we're talking travel here, and I mentioned that Browns fans, you know, a lot of them will pick like a road game, one road game every year that they're going to go to. So we know Las Vegas is going to be a popular pick this year for a lot of Browns fans. Other games though, let's say somebody comes to us and says, I want to go to a road Browns game, but I can't go to the Vegas game. Where should I go? So of course we have the division games, but the other options are Denver, Washington, Philly, Jacksonville. If that's not in London, we're going to say Jacksonville for now, New Orleans. And then again, like I said, the division games, where would you recommend?
Ooh.
Where would you say, hey, go to this place if you've never been there?
I know a lot of Browns fans also seem to really like doing the Denver trip. Like a few years ago, that seemed really popular. Last year, it was insanely popular. And I know so because I could not get a flight out of Cleveland. I had to fly out of Detroit because these diehard Browns fans wanted to spend their Thanksgiving weekend there. But I'm curious to see, like, that's some good destinations this year. I've never been to New Orleans. I can imagine a lot of Browns fans would also like to see Bourbon Street and do that whole thing and make a nice little trip out of it. So I'm curious when that game falls on the schedule.
New Orleans is a good choice. And both of those are good choices, honestly. But yeah, if you've never been to New Orleans, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think I would say New Orleans because it's different. You've never seen anything like New Orleans. You've never really seen anything quite like Bourbon Street. You've never experienced the restaurants there that are so unique and the music and the jazz and the craziness that goes on there. I was once there for a game Halloween weekend. Can you just use your imagination? It was just like Mardi Gras. It was just like Mardi Gras. It was a sight to behold. It was absolutely insane. And there were Browns fans everywhere. And yes, Browns fans do travel very, very well. And they love them some New Orleans. They really do. So I would probably say New Orleans if we're taking Vegas out of the equation, which would be my first choice.
Yeah, I think Vegas is the easy one. Right? I think a lot of Browns fans have that one circled already. It's probably going to end up being on like a stupid Thursday night or something. They'll screw it up somehow for them.
So I will also say we had a fun time in Philly. I think there's a lot of good things to see and restaurants there. That's a fun trip. I mean, we talked about that earlier, how if that's not the Brazil game for them, it's a fairly easy drive. I will say Washington, people are like, why isn't Ashley saying anything about Washington? She lived in D.C. I mean, that stadium is so far away from anything.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend it just because it's hard to get to Landover from D.C. It's not like you're going to get to see all the fun monuments and just walk from the National Mall to watch the Browns play. That's not how it works there. So that's why I'm not piping up. But I guess if you want to make, you know, a lengthier trip out of it, there's tons to do and see in D.C. as well. But you're going to have to hike a little bit to get to the stadium.
Yeah, I think if you don't want to go to a party city, so that, you know, New Orleans and Las Vegas, I think Denver and Philly are probably the next two options. Unless we're going to get into the division cities. We talked about Pittsburgh, you know, the Inner Harbor in Baltimore is great, stuff like that. But yeah, Denver and Philly should be on your list if you're not looking at one of the party cities. A whole travel podcast. I asked our texters what topics they'd want us to talk about here over the next couple months on the pod. And I don't know if anybody said, hey, do a travel pod. But we sort of just did like a mini travel pod for everybody. So
I have to put my two cents in for Philly. Philly's so much fun.
Philly's great. Yeah.
Right. We did have a great time when we were there last year. I always have a great time in Philly. It's it's so historical, great restaurants, easy to get around. Talk about trains. You can get around via train in Philly. Mm-hmm. That's a great city to visit.
And I also say the cool thing to see about Philly, because we've been doing so much stadium talk recently, is how all three of their major stadiums are right in that one singular area, like truly downtown. I thought that was really cool to see in the Eagles practice facility. Obviously, it's super close to that, so you could kind of see it driving in, since Dan and I didn't stay for that preseason game this year. But yeah, really cool. I had a fun time there.
Well, it made me think when I was in downtown Pittsburgh and I was looking at Acrisure right mm-hmm. over here, and I was looking at PNC yeah. Bank right over here, and I was like, ooh, and they were both right on the river, and I was like, oh, it gave me a feeling of wanting the stadium to remain in downtown Cleveland. And like I said, I'm very torn because I love the idea of a dome. So I want someone to come up with the miracle that it would take to put a dome somewhere in Cleveland.
Somewhere right near Progressive
Field. Just get rid of the airport. Just get rid of the airport. Right? Just get rid of the airport.
Or just find, there's got to, like you said it on our stadium pod, there's got to be a plot of land.
Got to be.
By 77 or whatever, over by the other stuff, where they could kind of put it close to Progressive and Rocket Mortgage and all that. It's, hey, look, people wanted a stadium pod too, so we'll maybe do a few more of those as well as we go along. I was going to say something about Philly, and I can't remember what. But inside baseball, they had a little media house at at their facility. I just assume it was like, I don't know, Thomas Jefferson's old house or something.
It probably was.
Yeah, little media house.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a nice. That was a really nice setup. That was very cool.
The media house.
Just to clarify, it's a media house where everyone worked. It wasn't like it's not like the Philly media all like lived together during the season in this house.
But we have joked. I mean, some of those houses around the Browns practice facility that you know are still existing. We're like, we should buy one and make our own media house, and we can just take turns working in there if there's not enough room. So that gave us some ideas in that media house.
Okay, there we go. Our Tuesday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Find us on someone was asking where you can listen to this podcast. If you're listening, of course, you know where to find us. But if you're not subscribed, get subscribed on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and pass that along to anyone who's not listening. Find us on YouTube, search Cleveland Browns on Cleveland.com, and find us on Instagram, search Orange and Brown Talk. For Mary Kay and Ashley, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.